Welcome everyone to this 26th day of September and our blessings from Christ on this gorgeous time of the year. I hope that you're having fair weather wherever you are, or at least fair weather in your heart. And if not, I hope that when this is over, you will have fair weather in your heart. We come with that purpose in mind. We have no idea exactly how God will bless you, just how the love of Christ will make a difference in your life, but it always does. And sometimes we just feel better when it's over, and the real blessings show up in the days ahead. So we come here with faith, with love, with expectancy, and we are blessed with our love. So I just want to say again, welcome. And I'm going to open our call board first today, because I am led to listening first and speaking later. We'll get started now. We have a caller from Novato, California. Hello, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. I'm yes. Caroline, and first of all, I want to thank you for all the amazing stuff you do. Your book, Love Without End, was a game changer for me. I have to say, it was amazing, and the amount of love and effort you're putting into what you do is wonderful. And so the first thing I want to do is thank you. Then what I wanted to ask a blessing for, first of all, for me, because I feel pretty unwell. I don't know whether, I think it may be just a regular flu, but I'm hoping it's not COVID. And then the other thing I'd like a blessing for is for my younger son and his girlfriend, who look like they may be forced to have the COVID vaccine for their work, and I'm hoping that they don't, because I've come across so many negative effects from that, because my older son is a doctor, and he's seen so many really bad effects from that vaccine. So that's really what I would like you to bless for me. And thank you again, Glenda.
Oh, yes. You have those blessings most certainly for me. And some of the things you said actually stimulated a message I may give later in our call. Just depends on what other people have to say. But I do what I do because I love it. Because I have the greatest pleasure of sharing the hearts of so many people. That's my treasure in life. So, when I come on these calls, or when I hold a seminar, when I'm ever with our community, I'm like a rich man counting his money. I didn't mean it to sound materialistic, because it's not, but this is my wealth. And Yeshua said, put your wealth in heaven where no one can come in and steal. And yes, it's so true. And I am so blessed, because the greatest blessing is giving a blessing to others. And I have learned that lesson irrevocably. So I do have you on my list, and I'm going to give this a lot of focus, prayer, and love for your health.
And thank
you. Really nice to talk to you. Okay. I see Stormy's on the line. Hello, Stormy. I also know you've been trying to call me lately, and I wanted to apologize that almost no one's been able to get through to me, because I signed up for this service called Robocall to clear off the robotic calls that are coming in, maybe as many as 20 an hour. And have it on my calling service. I'm going to have to cancel it and try something else, because
what was going on. I says, well, she's just trying something new for whatever it needs. But did you get the message about Mike?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's good. We will hold Debbie in our prayers today.
Happening. Yeah. The what?
Yeah. Debbie his wife. And the first call was about COVID because June and I did a very special blessing for the complications of whatever is going on with the COVID vaccine. And she just asked that request, and the two of us were together, and I developed this really, really beautiful energy on a down on the nanotechnology level. And then I pulled up an app on the telephone, a sound healing frequency that was some angelic and DNA repair frequency. And it was just perfect timing to watch and listen to all these beautiful lights and sound coming out. And then I went to sleep for, it was on for 3 hours and listened to it. And I just thought that was beautiful that we asked to assist. That will be done according to free will of humanity, of whatever people are saying and experiencing about any experiences with all this. And I just thought that was nice that the universe, God, provided something on the telephone to accentuate what I was already doing. And that's just beautiful,
God,
Glenda.
Do that. God has an unlimited number of ways to reach you. And he will do whatever is necessary and available at that time to which you will respond. That's the key. You know, Stormy, you are so into music. You're so into sound, whether sound healing or sound inspiration, that you naturally would have responded to that. You see, the Holy Spirit, Christ and God, they know you well. They know all of us very well, and they know what we will respond to. And not everyone responds to the same thing. So I just want to say to everyone, honor yourself. Take a deep indwelling sense of appreciation for yourself. I say this to everyone because you all have your own unique pattern of sensitivity, of awareness, of ability, of talent, of love, and of the way you both send and receive in communication. So I think many wise people in the past have said, know thyself and to thine own self be true. That was not said in the spirit of being self-centered. That was in the spirit of knowing that you're unique. And you have to know your own unique ways of sending and receiving. And Stormy, you've done a very good job of that with yourself, and we love hearing from you. I may call you back for a benediction, but for now, I'm going to move on and take some more calls on the line. But you take care. We'll see you later. All right, Mom. Jerome, you're on.
Blessings and blessings, Jerome here. Thank you for light, compassion, love, peace, and joy. And Yeshua ben Yosef, put my family's name and a new friend that we have here at my phone, whose name is Sue. We'll put her name on this, too, and put her name.
Oh, Susan?
Susan, thank you.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So you always bring your own congregation in. I love that about you, Jerome.
Yeah, I love it about you, too.
Okay. All right, dear. Well,
so
moving on.
So everybody in the family and then Susan. All right, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, Susan, so you wanted to be Susan. All right.
No,
got
I'm
it.
Not Susan today. I'm Jerry.
Okay. Sharon, I'm going to open your line. Hello, dear.
Well, hi, Glenda. How are you doing today?
I'm actually doing very well. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I have a blessing request. I have a friend whose dad got lung cancer. I think I put him in the blessing before. I've done some energy work with him, and he's took a turn for the worst, and so I would like to include him in the blessing. He lives on the the east side of South Salt Lake.
Okay. And his name?
His name is Dennis.
Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Dennis.
Yeah.
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 Oh. Well, you know, God has his ways of bringing us back to life if we still got life to live. But
yeah.
I have noticed now as I have, I didn't notice this so much when I was younger because I rarely had a peer an age peer who would transition and move back home. It was a very unusual thing and usually the result of an accident, something completely unforeseen. But as I've gotten older and I've had more people that I need to say goodbye to, best friends that just suddenly are taken, and like Tony, my family and lifelong best friends that were here yesterday and today they're gone. Well, I've learned something that was not easy to learn, but it makes it all easier to accept. And that is that the efficiency of God is unbreachable. God does not waste our life, not one minute of it. If our work is done, he will take us. Or if he has better work for us to do somewhere else, or he needs us to be a teacher from on high, he will take us. This universe works like clockwork because of the efficiency that was built into it. Everything is extremely and ultra coordinated. We just don't see it when we're young and we're immersed in all the different potentials of life. We just think, oh, we're just looking at all this endless potential. Where do I go next? What can I create next? And it's like that. Whether it's a relationship or a project or a goal or moving somewhere. Oh, well, what do I do next? Where do I go next? We don't realize that it's all clockwork. It's not that our actions are predestined. They're not. They're not predestined. We're given complete free will of what we make of our life. But the way it plays out is clockwork with the universe. In other words, you will play it out in exact clockwork with the universe. Let's just say that that I had chosen next to move to Oregon. It's for sure I will not stay here much longer because actually I know it's not the will of God because I've been left with 2.5 acres to manage, a 5,000 square foot home or almost 5,000.
Wow.
And I'm alone and I have no friends down here other than the friends I've made because I'm here, but I have no prior friends here, no deep long-term friends here, none. And so I know it's not the will of God for me to stay here because you know why I know that? Is because it's not in God's efficiency for me to use my time that way or for me to use my worldly resources to keep up a big piece of property that I'm floating in, way too big. It's like a size 22 dress when I'm a size 8. You know, that's not the will of God. The will of God is that things fit. Now, we get to choose. Like, let's just say I go shopping for a dress. I get to choose which one I want. But I'm going to wear a size 8 because it would be inefficient and wasteful to just get so enchanted with a size 14, I just say, I know I can make that work. I know I would look great in that. Oh, yes, it's just the most fabulous thing I've ever seen. That's not the will of God. It really isn't. You know, when we learn that the will of God makes sense, it becomes a lot easier to know what the will of God is. I don't have to hear from him in a dream that I'm not supposed to stay here. You know, the upkeep would be humongous. The mortgage would be humongous. I need to be writing books. I need to be painting paintings. I need to be doing the work I came here to do. That's a no-brainer, really. And so what I'm getting down to is that when it's your time to go, God will let you know. And passing on is not a bad thing. I had one rather stupendous blessing that very few people have ever received, and that is that my husband came back and he showed me exactly what it was like to die and exactly what the next step was, exactly where he went. Now, he didn't do this for about, oh, maybe a month later, because part of the interim is recollecting yourself to yourself. Part of the interim is becoming all that you could be that couldn't be deployed into one lifetime. We are all so much bigger than one lifetime. One of the first things that a person does is pull himself back together after he goes. And then after you pull back together, you just take a few deep breaths and transition up to a higher ground. And then from then, you can go back to be with those you love and help them recover from their loss. And I think it's a pretty reliable prognosis for both of us. But what I was showed is that only the body suffers pain prior to the moment of death. And not always that. Sometimes the body's in a coma prior to death. And there may be pain prior to that, but it's not for the soul a painful experience. It's a recovering experience, a way of going. It's like you open a giant closet and you say, oh, my gosh, here are all these clothes I never wore. I didn't even know I was all of this. It's something like that. And so we should not cry for the one that's leaving. What we cry for is those that will miss him or her, those that have built their life around him or her, and will cherish the love and be feeling disconnected. So this is why we have memorial services. It's not for the one who's gone. It's for those who are left behind, so that we can cherish the memories, honor the memories, and recover our love in a new way of expressing it. So it's a natural part of life, just like birth is. And Larry said it's kind of like being born on the other side. You know, you're in the womb for a while, and he said, I was in the womb for about 30, 40 days. And then the door opened, and it was like I was born on the other side. So we don't, let's take away the fear from that. But let's also offer a blessing to all of those who are in the transition of maybe we go, maybe we stay, so that the right choice is made. And if it's to stay, then the right help comes.
Yeah.
The right supply of new energy comes to bring about healing. And then the right reason comes for why we stayed and what our extended work is. So a lot of people have really come back from almost leaving, and they had a completely revitalized life. It could go either way, and either way is a blessing. So let's just be in a state of positive offering to Dennis and to anyone else who was
at the
crossover point. Anyone
yeah,
else
he,
who
got
the crossover point. You're right.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you for that, because that there's a lot of information that has to do with my life and what's going on.
And I lost my 16-year-old cat about a week and a half ago, and it was really, really hard. And then we had a little service for him, and it was really hard to let go, but I knew that at the same time. So I kept getting an inclination that I should get a kitten because I've got a dog that is very possessive of my time, and she's really wonderful, but... It's interesting because I remember you talking about Gunner coming back. And so a little kitten appeared, and it was his sister, Chi-Chi, that I actually had an opportunity to know she's helping me to heal. And there's, like I said, there's so many really cool things about having, you know, them nurture and comfort you. And there's so many people that I've got another friend whose dad did die, and there's a lot of people that have had COVID and people have cancer, and there's just a lot of death going on. But, you know, when you say it in such a way that there's a rebirth on the other side, and I could really feel when I watched my cat die when I got him euthanized, I could actually feel him being in a higher and a better place. And I knew that. But yet you still go through that loss, and you have to do that in order to heal.
You do.
So, but thank you for the message, because there was things that touched my heart with where I'm at, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it just, there's just a lot of things that makes a lot of sense, and I feel like it's not just meant for me, but I took it like you're, like as if God is talking to me, you know.
Well, I'm sure
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Glenda. I really appreciate you.
Tears will not hurt you. The worst thing to surround death with is anger. It really is. And that's one thing I would pray to see ended in our country, in our world, the amount of anger that we're surrounding death with. Right now, it's something to fight. It's something to even focus vengeance on, and hatred, and that is not the right spirit. pardon me. Death is actually a cool experience. It really is a cool experience if you can be walking in your heavenly shoes and see it the way it is. And I can't say I was there every minute with Larry's passing, you know. I had my moments when I was just on my pity pot. Why did this have to happen? And right now, and with all we're going through. So I had my human moments. But overall, I stayed positive through it. And then he and I had really good closure, and he came back as my teacher, which so many times in life he was. And I basically left and said, I'll see you later. So it can be a cool experience if you let it be. Let's put it that way. And I pray that people will really get over the pain and the hurt and the anger that they're putting in to so many life transition moments that we're having right now, and see it as just the unfolding of life and birth on the other side, which will come back to be a higher birth on this side. Okay, now I'm going to take a call from Tara Kim. Hello, dear.
Hello, Glenda. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for that message. That was just so timely and so important, and I really needed to hear that as well. I'm so grateful for that. I would like today to request a blessing for my husband, Bert, as well as his cousin, David Gates, who is dealing with the lung cancer. And then Bert, just for he's got a lot of physical things that he's dealing with. And then also, again, for our dog, Shobi, S-H-O-B-I-E.
Okay.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. And bless you. Bless you, Tarkin.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, there's no one else on our caller list right now, so I'm going to take this free time to bring a message that was inspired to me while we were on quiet time. But before I do that, I am going to open the line to Nancy and Gary. Okay, Nancy and Gary, hello and welcome.
Hi, beautiful girl and everyone. How's everybody this beautiful Sunday? Hope everybody's doing okay.
I'm doing great.
Well, we've got the crud over here, and Livy's got COVID and Rashad, but everybody's plugging on through and doing fine. But really, I have
COVID?
Olivia and Rashad.
Oh, no.
But they're okay. They're okay. He's on the mend, and she did some monoclonal antibodies. She went and got a IV treatment of that because she's pregnant and can't take ivermectin. So she's doing fine. But Gary and I kind of got, we don't know what we've got. But we're just, you know, it's all good.
Thank
you. I'm more concerned about, I'd like to add a blessing for a little fella named Beto. He's my sister-in-law's nephew, and he's like just 3 months old, and he's in Houston, and his little heart rate went crazy high, like the 200s to 300s, and has something called SGT. I'm not sure what it stands for, but they're trying to get his heart rate, you know, controlled because surgery's, you know, a little scary for how little he is. So if everyone could just hold a special blessing for little Beto, please, that would be wonderful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've got him on my list.
Thank you. And I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I'm so glad to hear Larry visited you.
Well,
that's wonderful.
I have actually had off and on a little case of flu for about a month, and it comes on and goes away and comes on and goes away. And I just don't put any negative energy on it and
yeah.
Do everything I intend to do. And I know that, you know, with enough positive energy, negativity has no legs to stand on. So
absolutely.
I just get on with my life, and I do.
And some vitamin D and some getting out in the sun and all those good things.
Oh, I take lots of vitamin D.
Good.
I've always done that, just felt drawn to it because it's one of the best preventatives for osteoporosis. So any woman over 40 needs to be taking a lot of vitamin D. That's just a little bit of a tip from me.
Well, I love you, okay. And thank you for holding this beautiful circle together. Thank you.
It's my pleasure and my blessing. And Christopher, hi.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to comment on what you were sharing before, the whole grieving process and just how we are going through so many levels of loss and transition.
Yes.
I studied grief work and grief counseling, and one of the cool ideas that has come through in the grief research is this idea of dual hypothesis, and it's the idea that we need to have two orientations simultaneously as we, whether it's a grief of the loss of a loved one or a transition of any kind in life, we need to have the recognition of the loss and also of the future, the loss orientation and the future orientation, and it just feels to me that, and I've heard this over and over, that we're a grief illiterate society, meaning that we're so afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not educated in how to actually embrace the opportunity of a transition. And
You are absolutely right. And the friends and congregation members I have in third world countries, they don't have any problem with this.
Right.
They don't.
Right. It's both sides, you know. It's the humanity of our loss and the embracing of the suffering. Like the woman who was speaking earlier about her cat, to really allow ourselves to commemorate that being who we loved so much, and then also at the same time to take steps forward on the things that we need to do in life. And as you were speaking to, the reality of the opportunities that emerge as either people or other life circumstances fall away, it just opens up all these new possibilities for life. And it's a really interesting balance to both commemorate that being or that circumstance and at the same time to open ourselves to the potentiality of this incredible reality that God is unfolding through it. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to send that out as a blessing to the whole world right now, that, you know, we really learn to integrate that, that awareness into every single change that's happening. I mean, there's so many changes going on in the workforce. People are quitting their jobs en masse. People have lost their jobs, lost income. So many changes, and there's grief in that. There's loss in that.
Yes, there is.
And how can we, you know, embrace the feelings that we have at the same time as we embrace the opportunities that are coming? That's so exciting to me. So
we're going to see some marvelous changes on the other side, Christopher. And I do join you in that. And that's what I keep my attention on mostly. But I'm also aware of the challenges that some people are going through. But this actually leads me more and more to think I need to deliver a message that occurred to me right after I spoke with Sharon and the one before that. I'm thinking that I do need to say this because I've never really made any comments on COVID for two reasons. One is I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what to say, actually. I do my due diligence to read and study, but then we don't know if what we're reading is actually accurate. We don't know about the verifiable honesty of everyone reporting about it. We just keep our attention on it and do our best. That's about all I can say. And since I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't talk about it. And so that's one of the, and I do not want to be political. One of the covenants I have with Yeshua is that I am never political about anything. Like he said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Someone asked him if he should pay taxes, and that was his answer. And then he said he reported in similar ways to other different questions. In other words, embrace reality. Look at reality for what it is and realize that there is this clockwork nature inside of reality. And even though we might not agree with the government, we're still going to need to pay our taxes. It's just part of life. Even though we don't agree with everything the company we work for does, we have contracted to service that company in our own unique way. So we keep our contracts. That's just part of the human experience. Right now, we're behaving actually in a little bit of a fear oriented adolescent tantrum mode where if this doesn't work for me, I'm out of here. And that is neither wise nor godly. It really isn't. And I will go so far as to say that. And I'm going to give another background message to all of this. And that is that the Delta variant coming back is hardly seen in other countries. And in so many other countries, there was very, very little COVID in the first place. And I'm looking at one particular country that I speak about frequently. The millions and millions of people in a country just the size of Texas. I think it's 36 million people there. Dense population with very poor medical services, very poorly furnished hospitals, limited space, unavailable medicine. I'm talking about Nigeria. They never had more than 2% of their population to ever contract COVID, and it didn't spread. And I talked to the people over there, and they said, we don't believe in it. We don't believe in it. Okay? Well, over here, we're being taught to believe in it by the media, the politicians, our neighbors who are scared to death, and rightly so, because living in a nation that believes in it, it's likely to spread, and it might hit your best friend, your dearest family member. So, yeah, we've created a tremendous vulnerability over here. Now, that's just the background of what I want to say. And remember, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a veterinarian, but I want to talk about a particular cat disease that I went through with my darling darling Gunner that came back as Shiva, the transformed one. He was only 5 months old, and he was diagnosed. He had very high fever, and he was diagnosed with what's called coronavirus. So I did, well, I had a homeopathic doctor, and thank goodness I did, because the conventional veterinarians that I also went to see were going to do all of the conventional things that would actually turn it into something dangerous. Now, what my homeopathic doctor, who was also a DMV, I mean, she was a doctor of veterinary medicine, but she preferred homeopathy because she thought the veterinary medicine was so negative in its orientation, and she just didn't want to practice that. But she knew she was a trained medical doctor. She told me what coronavirus was and what the danger of it was. She said, Glenda, coronavirus is a very common thing in cats, and usually they get it, and it just goes away unless it's stress-activated, in which case it transforms into feline peritonitis, which is deadly. And she said less than 1% of the cats who get feline peritonitis survive, and there really is no treatment for it. She said the best thing we can do is to keep his stress level down. And you just hold him. I held him for about 18 hours without sleeping. Well, I was back to the wall where I took cat naps, no pun intended. But he had fever 105. He couldn't eat. He couldn't even get up. He just eliminated in a towel that I was holding him in. He could barely move his legs. I mean, he was almost comatose. And she said, don't worry about it. Just hold him. Just hold him. Just hold him. And she said, just maybe you listen to music. Get your stress level down. Get his stress level down. Keep it down. Well, at one point, I got kind of worried. And I called the breeder who I had purchased my baby from to see how other litter mates he had were doing. He said, oh, they all had coronavirus, and then it became feline peritonitis, and they died. And I went, what? And I said, well, how did you treat them? And he said, well, I took them to the veterinarian, and I got, we got the biopsy. We determined what it was, and it was feline peritonitis, and there's no treatment for it. And I said, and he said, you've got to take him to the clinic in Phoenix. This is when I lived in Sedona. You've got to get him to the clinic in Phoenix. Get a biopsy of him. And instantly, I realized the wisdom of what my homeopathist was telling me. If I had taken him to get a biopsy, that would have been nothing but stress. Terrible stress for him. And it would have morphed into feline peritonitis. Okay? Now, going back to the human theater, I don't really know what's going on with COVID. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it's going. But we do know that it's morphing. I believe that it is a disease that is susceptible to morphing, that is susceptible to becoming more than it is in the presence of stress, more than it is in the presence of fear, more than it is in the desperate attempts to put people into high stress situations around it, and then surrounding them by grief and fear. I really believe that we are accelerating the death rate with the way we are treating this. And very likely, the vaccine may be doing some good in one regard, only one. I think it's not doing any scientific good at all. I've really read the reports on it, and I don't think there's any scientific value to the vaccine at all. But I think there may be some psychological value for some people in that they stop worrying about getting COVID. They stop the fear. They stop the stress. And they relieve their susceptibility to taking in flu that then morphs into COVID. I think there's a morphing element here, very much like there was with Shiva between coronavirus and feline peritonitis. Like both of the doctors, both on the conventional side and the homeopathic side, said cats don't contract feline peritonitis directly. So there's really no purpose for the feline peritonitis vaccine. It's a ridiculous vaccine. But people want it because they think they can prevent feline peritonitis by giving that vaccine to their cats. But their cats never get it directly. They get it from coronavirus that then morphs into feline peritonitis. You see, I had people who were willing to talk sanity about a situation because in their, it was just about cats. It was about animals. I found actually sometimes veterinarians are a little bit saner than a high-tech medicine, human medicine, because they've got the liberty to just think logically and think straight and not have to worry about the consequences of everything they do. Now, I think this is why it didn't spread in some countries that could say, I don't believe in this. It didn't go anywhere. So we don't know exactly where this came from. I think the story is still very unclear about that. Hopefully, we'll find out at some point in time. But just from my opinion, I think it's a morphing disease. And anything you can do that lowers your susceptibility to stress and negativity and fear or anger will actually assist you in being unavailable to that morphing phenomena. I felt it for a month. I came down with coughs and fever about a month ago, and I thought, this is interesting. Okay, well, I'm going to get on with my life. I rested more. I drank more fluids. I did all the positive things, thought positive things, prayed, did my work. And it would come up and go away and come up and go away. And now I think it's finally gone away because my coughs are productive now and my energy is no longer on a roller coaster. And it pretty much confirms what I'm saying. And you have to realize this is just the opinion of a woman who's guided by Yeshua to think clearly about simple life phenomena. Some things in life are the result of morphing. And we have seen that not just with disease, but we've seen it like in companies we work for. There's one complaining person who doesn't get satisfied, and they're just so angry to get satisfied. They'll start gossiping, and they'll start this and start that, and pretty soon the whole office is upset. Everybody's upset with everybody. And in the end, the wrong person gets fired. I know you've seen it happen, if not in your life, in the life of someone else. This thing this phenomena is part of our ability to navigate the river of life. Life is a river. It really is. It is a river that contains all of the species, all of the animals, all of the plant life, and all of the energy of the earth that is living. Life is a river, and we travel in that river. Now, one of the great endowments that humanity was given, and this is very, very important for you to really take in, is we were given the power of self-correction. Self-correction. This is something that some animals have, but actually I don't think it's really part of the plant kingdom or the animal kingdom. I've seen so often once a plant starts to wither and die, there's almost nothing that can be done to correct it. I have seen some earth healers that know how to correct the environment around the plant and create a new support system for the plant. But it's not really the plant that self-corrected. If you don't do anything for it, it will not self-correct. And the same thing for animals. I have known faith healers and wonderful veterinarians like the one I had for Shiva. Oh, of course, the story is with Shiva, is after 18 hours of holding him, his fever broke. And he got up and he meowed and he said, "I'm hungry." And it was over. It took him a few days to get his strength back fully, but it was over. He didn't morph and the coronavirus was finished. And all we needed to do was just allow his immune system to do its work. Now, you could probably say, "Well, Glenda, doesn't the immune system mean that there's self-correction?" Yes, it does. It does, to the degree that the immune system has been set up with certain capabilities. But I don't really think that the heart and the soul of animal and plant life were really built with this self-correction that I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is knowing that something is wrong, and we self-correct. All of humanity was given that, and I think it's one of the most distinguishing differences between humanity and the rest of life when we use it. It's called a conscience, for one thing. It's called responsibility, for another thing. It's called inspiration, for another thing. It's called inner guidance for another. It's called listening to my heart for another. It's called following life in the living, doing the right thing. Okay? We've got lots of names for it, but these are names that are uniquely accorded to human life. And the only way that we can be captured by this situation is by acting below our human potential. What we need to do is come up to our fullest and best human potential, have compassion, have empathy, have courage, have good common sense, and have the ability to self-correct for what you know you need to do. You know it. You have been given that ability inside when you were created. You know how to fix yourself, and do it. Don't be told by some government what to do. You know what to do. But don't hate those who can't discover this in themselves, because some people just cannot discover this inside themselves. And getting the vaccine relieves their stress. And for that reason, I think it makes a difference. I don't think there's a single scientific factor in it, but it relieves the contagion fear, and that's a good thing. If we could just stop fighting about it. That's what we need to do, is to stop fighting about it. And remember, we are a nation of freedom. We're a nation of determination. And we're a nation with actually intelligent people in it. We don't need to be told by a godfather what to do. We know inside ourselves what to do. Follow it. Follow your highest guidance and do it. And I would highly recommend you don't argue about it. You keep it to yourself. You just, sometimes it's better not to talk. Sometimes it's better to keep your own counsel between you and God. Be in your prayer. Follow your inspiration. Do what you know you need to do. And keep your own counsel. This is what Yeshua meant when he said, I will send the Holy Spirit to you for your counsel. And they knew better than to take counsel from the Romans. They took counsel from themselves, from those they could trust, and from God and the Holy Spirit. And I highly recommend that you do the same. Now, we're going to move into our blessing. And thank you all for what you contributed leading up to my courage to say what I felt needed to be said. And I kept quiet for quite a while. But, you know, when I think about the grief that some people are having, it breaks my heart, because that doesn't have to happen. When I think about the loss some people are suffering, that doesn't have to happen. We are stronger than that. And we can pull together. And we can have the right attitude of conscience, consciousness, faith, strength, courage, and goodwill. And we can rise above this. And we do not have to believe in the negative. Let me tell you something. A lot of people's beliefs are negative. They believe they can't do something. They believe they're no good. They believe they're a loser. You know why? Because they had negative parents or negative conditioning as children. Somebody told them they were a loser. They told them. They've been told, oh, you're the weakest kid in the class. And they've grown used to believing in whatever is negative. It's the only thing that makes sense to them. Have compassion for people who can only believe in the negative. Oh, my gosh, I would not want to be one of them. I would not want to wear that blanket of shame on myself. And I thank God that I was never given it, that I was given a raiment of love and courage and hope and faith and belief that God can do anything. And with the help of God, we can rise to the light with anything we face. And I hope that you will embrace these words in your life for whatever they may mean to you. And each of you will be facing something unique, because there's no two alike and there's no two situations alike. But there are certain principles that are universal. Don't believe in the negative, because believing in anything negative will bring out whatever you have ever negatively believed about yourself or negatively feared about your life. Hold to the positive. Keep your faith high. And keep your eyes on the horizon. And don't fear death. It's nothing to fear. Only if it's unjust and untimely and inflicted with pain or anger. Like what happens in a war. Oh my goodness, I hate war. If there's anything I hate, it's man's hatred of man. So it's an abomination to me. I want peace on earth. I want love on earth. And I give my life for whatever small difference it could make in promoting that. That's why I'm here. And that's why I hope I'll outlive all of these negative forces and be able to rejoice in the glory of what's coming next, because I think it's going to be fabulous. Okay, I think we are ready for a blessing. And the way we're going to get ourselves in a position for it is you're just going to relax. You're going to just hang out with yourself, okay? Whether you're in bed relaxing, propped upon pillows or in a chair, or maybe you have a sunny day and you're sitting on the grass or in a hammock, whatever you're doing, just be one with yourself. Shake your arms and your legs out. Don't have anything crossed. And now take a deep breath. Count at least to five. And as you do, feel your abdomen swell and massage the inner core of your being, and most especially your blessed heart. Hold it and then start releasing it. This time to the count of six. Take longer to release, because you cherish every little breath you have. Now, into even cleaner lungs, take another breath. Let it go as deep as you can take it. And hold it to the count of five or longer. Feel it. Just feel it. Energize your body. And now let it out slowly. Okay. And again. Now keep doing this while I offer an invocation to Yeshua. When I'm finished, then I want you to start your prayer while the blessing givers and I offer the blessing. Dear Yeshua, beloved to our heart and soul, who is with us always, through the upside and the downside, in everything we face, we ask that you conquer our fear and replace it with confidence, that you tame our anger and allow us to see a bigger picture in which the fire of anger is calmed with sweet water. We ask that you lift our soul into the spirit of heaven, that we may renew the essence of who we are and be healed. We know that all healing comes from God, because in God there is nothing negative. In God there is no fear. In God there is no anger. There is only the sweetness of creation. As we hold into ourselves the spirit of creation, fueled by the power of love, let us know that it is greater than anything anyone else could place upon us with negative energy. Let that belong to them as we live our life the way we are called to live our life. And we ask this for all people, that you would empower the sovereignty of each life to make their own choices, their own covenants, to make their own self-corrections of life, bringing life back in to the living, into the well, into the happy, into the joyful, into the creative, a life that flourishes and overflows with abundance. We thank you for being with us, and we ask your forgiveness for all the times you've been with us and we didn't see you because we were blinded by something else that had captured our attention. We knock on the door now because we really truly want to see you. We really truly want your touch upon our life. We truly want your blessing. And we want to receive and be all that you can offer to us. And we pray on behalf of everyone in this world who would seek your greatness, your glory, your graciousness, your peace, your love. We ask on behalf of everyone and all of life to receive the blessings that you are here to offer, and that we stop preferring the negative for whatever challenge or confirmation it may seem to bring us, that we find it's simply not worth it. There is no glory in a negative. There is no goodness in it. And we confess that we have followed that path of time and we're just tired of it. We want to walk with you. We want to be in your grace. We want to rise into the light of heaven. In your glorious name, we ask all of these things. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? And everyone else, start your prayer.
Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and rest. Just be quiet. Don't even get into praying, because that may activate your mind. You want to just be neutral. You want to be a blank slate on which the blessings of Christ are written. God bless you. Have a better week than you could have had before. Have a blessed time in everything you do. And I look forward to being with you again next week.